This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, DFW. Sean and RJ here, 105 through the Phantom. RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside. Now, two of the people here, Bobby and Peyton, are non-Texas Texas fans. They didn't go to Texas, but you're a University of Texas fan. They are excited today because it is official. You have a new head basketball coach, Sean Miller, and Texas is back.
Are we?
Yes.
Sean, yes. Mr. Studio Coach. University of Texas, it's what we are. Mr. Steal Your Coach.
That's right. That's
we
right.
We did A&M in baseball.
Most,
now we're doing
Mr. Steal Your Coach. Fives. Most Power Fives are Mr. Steal Your Coaches.
Mr. Steal Your Coach. And then have Mr. Steal Your Coach.
Well, I'm saying like, you know.
Have a domestic issue and get fired.
You know, you beat us, and so we just take your coach.
Yeah, there you go.
And then sometimes our coach beats.
Are you not a fan of this hire?
It's fine. It doesn't, like, I'm not, like, super thrilled with it. But, yeah, it's fine. It's better than when they hired old Nick Wright away from wherever when they hired Shaka.
No.
Yeah, they look like
Shaka was on top of the world.
I didn't like the Shaka
was hire. A more splash than this.
No, I didn't like the Shaka hire at the time. Shaka hire to me at the time was the same as the Charlie Strong hire.
Man, Shaka had such a huge. He was turning jobs down left and right.
Yeah, and people loved him at the time, but there was still like, you know how there's always this sense of take anybody like this existed for a long time with Boise coaches, Chris Peterson, or people like that. Of like, is there still something kind of gimmicky about what you're doing? Like, is this really going to play at big time program? I felt like that was still the question about Shaka. Like, could Shaka handle big time program?
Well. And Sean Miller can handle big time.
Yes, he can, and he's fine. It's just, like I said, it's not.
Once he got it rolling, he went 30-8, 23-12, 27-8, 33-5, 34-4, 32-5 at Arizona. He fell off. They had their little scandal-y things that happened, the FBI investigation, and they eventually walked away from him, and he went back to Xavier. Only took a year off, went back to Xavier.
This is not as sexy a hire. Didn't turn out right, but this to me is not as sexy a hire as Chris Beard was at the time.
I agree. Chris Beard was a sexier hire. There are other guys that I thought, you know, Will Wade would have been better. I think a better hire. I think Will Wade's great. Now, I think Will Wade is also toxic and damn near untouchable.
It just feels rushed. It's like, oh, we want to fill the role. Let's do it now.
Oh, they beat us. Let's get him. He's a good coach. I'm not gonna talk.
Y'all got a good one.
I know. I'm also a perpetually when it comes to the University of Texas, and a lot of the other sports fandoms that I have, I'm very similar to a lot of these Cowboys fans who just are like, until it's all right, I'm not gonna be happy about any of it. Like I do recognize that it's probably a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't know if there's a hire I would have loved. Yeah. So to be fair, I'm probably just not one who can be pleased, and I just need to accept that. He's a good coach. It's not a bad hire. It's not like I'm not jazzed about it.
You heard Boomer in the Sports Minute there talk about how
tried not to.
how it's, you know, all Power Four. It's the first time we've ever had this since 1975, where the Sweet 16 is just the power conferences. It's the, you know, seven SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the ACC, and that's it, right? That's all that's left. And one of the things that people are talking about is this the new norm? And the answer is yes, it is. Because of the transfer portal and the NIL. And the one advantage that all these Cinderellas had from UMBC to Valpo to Morehead State to St. Peter's to Georgia State to George Mason to VCU is that they were all like 22-year-old senior classes.
I noticed you just flat out dissing Sister Jean.
Oh, I totally forgot about him. Loyola, yeah, too.
It's easy to forget about him for you, isn't it? How much you hate
that. No, that's just, you know, for whatever reason, like, I think I've gotten numb to it at that point.
Sister Free Lunch. She would have been all in that suite last night. She would not have gone out and tried anything.
She would not have. But, you know, the reality is that, you know, they used to have, like, 22-year-old teams that had been there, the players together, for 3-4 years. And the one-and-dones and the 18-year-old kids were on the other side. Now it's reversed. Now the 18-year-old kids are going to the mid-major because these Power Fives aren't going to take this. You know, like, you get your transfers. Go look around. You know, Duke's got a ton of freshmen, right? But Auburn's best player is Jani Broome. He's 22. And Houston's is L.J. Cryer, and he's 23. And Tennessee's is Chaz Lanier, and he's 22. And Florida's is Walter Clayton Jr., and he's 22. Like, everything is flipped.
St. John's is R.J. Lewis, and he's on the bench.
He is on the bench.
Poor kid.
Yep.
No, but this...
You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way it is. Yeah. And, you know, Cinderella, last true Cinderella we had was Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
Right? A couple years ago.
Was Florida Atlantic and San Diego State?
Yeah, but, like, San Diego State is, like, they were in a similar situation. But San Diego State's, you know, their best player is, he has moved on. Is he at Florida? Anyway, Florida Atlantic, their coach is at Michigan.
So
three of their best players are still in the tournament.
So the closest do you think it's reasonable to think the closest we're going to get to Cinderella is going to look more like...
More McNeese this year, just a 12-5.
Or just more like underperforming big program that all of a sudden catches fire. So Arkansas at 10, North Carolina at 11, like, yeah, you projected. Like, that's going to be what Cinderella looks
that's
like.
That's Cinderella. That's Cinderella right now. It does take a little bit of the fun out of it. You're still going to get your 12-5. You're still going to get your Drakes. But I just think that they're not going to be able to make the Sweet 16 at the same rate they used to.
Do you think NIL has... Obviously, I think everybody agrees, needed to happen. It's kind of like the internet, right? Like, in a lot of ways, the internet did a lot of good. And in a lot of ways, it probably made us worse off. And NIL, in a lot of ways, did a lot of good. It's probably also made us worse off in a lot of ways. Do you think it's damaged the college basketball or college football product more? Or do you think the negatives are felt more in basketball or football?
Well, I think the negatives are felt more in the tournament.
Which is college basketball. College basketball is the tournament. Football is the regular season and everything else. College basketball is the tournament.
It has impacted the tournament more, I think, because, you know, we have, it's just halves. At least in college football, you had SMU in Indiana this year that popped out of nowhere.
Yeah, that kind of surprised, and you're seeing that in some of these instances, it feels like NIL has backfired more in instances where you try to buy. It seems like it's backfired more on football teams than basketball teams. Like,
yeah.
Florida State purchased an NFL defensive line, and they were awful this year. They were bad.
Yeah, you got to have a quarterback. The college football has become like the NFL, where you got to have a QB. Speaking of McNeese State, so Mr. Aura, Amir Khan, he's the kid that carries the boombox. He got an NIL deal to go to NC State. He is transferring with Will Wade.
I don't like this.
You don't?
No. Nope.
Oh, this kid's awesome. I love this kid.
I like this. I like him. I like that whole thing. You just up and leaving and bouncing for NC State. You were McNeese State. They gave you your shine.
Yeah.
NC State, that's... I don't like it. It feels...
I wrote this in my email. You're going to find a way to hate on this kid somehow. And Bobby Belt.
I'm not hating on the kid.
He copied the 49ers guy. 49ers guy's been to two Super Bowls doing the boombox thing. And no one knows who that is.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. No one knows.
Well, I mean, it was, yeah. Trent would carry it sometimes.
That's not a hype kid.
A hype man.
They did. A lot of times it was their, like, one of their equipment guys would carry it out. So, like, it is a little... It is a little bit of swagger jacking because they did. That was always the 49ers thing, right? Coming out playing, you know, Super Gremlin or anything else that they were playing. That was their thing. But it was funny. It was cool. They had success with it. I just don't like as soon as he gets his shine, then he's like, all right, I'm bouncing too. I'm going to NC State.
He's going. And yeah. He's going to NC State. He got himself an NIL.
He's a big Jim Valvano guy.
Yeah, he might be.
Yeah, big fan.
He might be. Boy, how about this? So Dan Hurley, after the game that UConn lost to Florida, there's audio of him. Now, I wasn't even going to play this because it wasn't great audio, but now yesterday another part of the story happened. So this is Dan Hurley leaving the court, and the Baylor players, coaches, cheerleaders, they're all in the tunnel, and he has to walk by them. And this is Dan Hurley that was recorded by a media member. This is Dan Hurley talking to the Baylor players. So that was recorded by a guy named Joey Ellis.
Really hard to hear, but he says, hope they don't bleep you like they bleeped us. I hope they don't do that, Baylor.
So that was Joey Ellis captured that video as he walked by the Baylor program. And it's gotten millions of views on social media. And this guy by the name of Bobby Mullen, he is the director of communications for UConn, basically berated this dude and said the lasting image of Coach Hurley leaving the court should have been him walking off the court arm in arm, overwhelmed with emotion. Instead, a reporter who was in the area he should not have been in recorded on his cell phone a private comment made to members of another coaching staff and basically told this guy in private, I will ruin your life if you don't take that video down.
Semi-private. Like, other reporters witnessed it, apparently.
Yeah.
That he said, I'm going to ruin your life. And then, yeah, that right there, what you just read, that's like their official reply back to, hey, did you say this? When media had reached out and said, did you tell this guy you were going to ruin his life?
Yeah.
And they come back with that, which is
that?
Not a no.
That's not a no. That is not a no. That is not a know-it-all. This is what happens at college programs. I think they're the Pravda.
That you're a massive loser. Whoever you are, what's his name again?
Bobby Mullen.
Bobby Mullen, you shame Bobbies everywhere. This is what a thin-skinned loser. I love Kevin Clark over at Omaha Productions.
Omaha.
Kevin Clark, I liked his tweet about this last night. He said, I feel like if you say, I'm going to ruin your life, you have to have the capability to do so. I don't know if UConn basketball SID clears that bar. We used to have standards in this country.
Yeah, yeah. We used to.
Look, but people at UConn probably feel like they have that pull in college basketball circles. Dan Hurley certainly does.
I am of the belief that like whatever is said on the court, you know, is not meant for us. It's just not meant for us.
So what Hurley said, because Hurley was in the tunnel.
Right. So, but if Hurley had like, you know, said that on the court, that's, you know, within the confines of the game. I don't want to know. I don't think it's our right to know what is said in the trenches of an NFL game, you know, to the trash talk.
Sure. Or should it be held against them?
It should not be held against
them.
Yeah. I don't believe it should be held against. Yeah, you know, but Hurley's walking off the floor. Like, he's not on the floor anymore.
He knows there's media.
Now you're in the vicinity of the general public. So now you got to act a little bit differently.
How many different things have we seen this year? This is like the third incident from Hurley in the tunnel this year. Like, the dude has not picked up on the awareness of, dude, you got to understand, people are watching you in this particular sector. This is the first place you're generally being caught by media is when you walk in here. And he just doesn't have the sense to just shut up.
Do you know who Justin Pippen is?
That's Larsa's brother.
It's Larsa's son, Scotty's son.
Oh, close.
He plays for Michigan. They're in the Sweet 16, and he has entered the transfer portal. You had to enter it yesterday. Yesterday you didn't have to. Yesterday was the start of it, and you can enter it now. They've got to change the dates. Like, stop this.
Did you hear Calipari get asked about this last
week? Yeah, and he was shaking his head. It starts tomorrow.
They informed him. He was like, what? He's like, it's tomorrow. Oh, gosh. He's just himself.
These coaches who are trying to get ready for the Sweet 16 are basically going to go to their players and saying, hey, are you going to be here for this game this week? Like, can you change the date until the tournament is over?
Yeah, imagine if NFL free agency started in the divisional round.
It's exactly what's happening. This is lunacy.
But again, I also, here's the only problem. I have very little sympathy for the NCAA. Even if it's harmful for everybody else.
I have none.
Even if it's harmful for everybody else, we've repeated this over and over again. If you would have just had the foresight to recognize what was coming, like everybody saw this train coming and the NCAA said, nope, our power will win out in the end. We'll be able to stop whatever we want. Courts be damned, law be damned. And then when the actual, everything was just thrown out in the court, then you had the NCAA going, okay, well, now let's negotiate things. It's like, no, it's the Wild West now. Yeah, now you've opened it up. You could have built this up exactly the way you wanted, and you didn't because of ego or power.
But the NCAA put this date out there. They put this date out there for the transfer portal to start. They should have put it out after after the tournament is over. And you know what? You coaches like Will Wade, you can't be talking other teams.
Right. And
can't do that either.
But that's the thing. It also is, it so quickly has flipped in largely a positive way, I think. It so quickly has flipped in college athletics to power of the athlete.
Yeah.
Over power of the institution. It's built much more like the NBA now, college athletics that sense, where those players have a lot of pull and a lot of push that has become a completely neutered organization from one of the most heavy-handed, powerful organizations in professional sports or in sports in general to one of the most neutered.
Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. There's a little college kegger. Commercial-free expressway is next. We got our Rangers ticket giveaway. We have Ask Reddit. And is there a new trend among NFL players of early retirement? It's next, the commercial-free expressway on The Fan. Sean and RJ here, 105 through The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside. Commercial-free expressway is here. We have a Rangers ticket giveaway coming up and Ask Reddit as well. And Bobby, we are going to be on the road on Friday, are we not?
We are. We are going to Keller Fire Station number one. This is my hood away from my hood.
Okay.
I love the people at Keller. Great folks out there. The Keller Indian softball team, we've talked about that, is the official softball team of the morning show. And so we're going to be out there at Keller Fire Station number one on Friday with Eric Chiafalo in attendance. We're going to have free breakfast from Whataburger while supplies last. We are also going to have, while supplies last, Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour aprons.
Yeah.
So for grilling season, just go on out there. It's going to be a good time. Have you considered yet what your next fire exercise might be?
Well, you got to see what they have available. Like, you know, one place had a course where I had to, you know, find a body and smoke.
I loved that one. That one was, I felt like, for you, your best performance.
Thank you. I like that one.
Could you go down the fire pole?
You know, I don't know. I don't see any fire poles anymore.
I think we asked them about it one time.
And they said they don't do that anymore.
Because
also, like, I think the fire pole was, like, such a city thing where you had, like, those three-story brownstone buildings that they just converted into a firehouse, like on Ghostbusters. I don't think there's a. I've not seen a fire pole.
We haven't seen one in a single one that we've gone to.
No.
Did you see this? Speaking of firefighters, did you see this mustache on this firefighter?
Yeah, is that real?
It is real. So this is
Retired, right?
No, this is actually said he passed away.
Well, that's okay.
But it was sad, and so his picture went viral for this mustache, which. I didn't think we were going to talk about this, so I would have sent this to you, Aiden, but now I'll just turn it around the show.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so just search firefighter mustache. It's going to show up on Google right now. And so I did see that people were talking about it, and there were people like, should we be making jokes about the mustache in this photo, like given what happened? And to be fair, nobody from where he was said this, but there were a lot of different firefighters who said, you can see his face in this picture, and just knowing firefighters, any firefighter who would have grown his mustache out like that, that would have been what he wanted you to talk about. Like this would be funny to him, is that he wanted you to admire his mustache in the news with him being in the news. That would be what it is. I've never seen a mustache like that. That looks like something from Horton Hears a Who or something. I've legitimately never seen something go down that far.
I've never seen it like that either.
But they did say somebody on the Facebook last night said that needs to be a bet payoff for like me or one of the others soon. We just need to grow a mustache just like that.
That would annoy the hell out of me.
I don't think I'm capable of it. I know Peyton isn't.
That would if my like the mustache part gets even a little bit too thick, I have to like trim it immediately. I just can't.
If it goes over my lip, I have to
trim it back. Yeah. I can't do it. So we'll be at the Keller Fire Station number one on Friday. Sean and RJ firehouse tour with those Sean and RJ Tolo aprons that we will have for you. So a couple of months ago, I'm pretty sure Micah Parsons said, I don't need $40 million. How's my life going to change with $40 million a year versus $30 million a year?
Yeah, what was it? 30, 40.
What's the difference?
Yeah,
it's like $30 or $40.
And then he was talking about, you know, I mean, he talked about it as if it was less than $30 to $40. He talked about it like it was like, you know, $30 or, you know, $30 and it's a 20 and a 10 or, you know, $30 and it's three tens. Like, that's kind of how Micah sounded like he was talking about it. But boy, his tone seems to have shifted a little bit. First, it was $30 million. Then it was, well, you know, if I could just get me a nice plot of land and get me a lake house, I'd be happy. That'd be wonderful. Well, now it's moved on a little bit.
You would
bit
not
further.
Do well with a plot of land.
Huh?
You would not do well with a plot of land.
No. They would, you know, Stanley Kubrick would have to direct movies about my life after that. But Cowboys defensive end, this is from Pro Football Talk, Cowboys defensive end Micah Parsons is optimistic about getting a long-term deal done with the team. The question is when. Clarence Hill of All City reports that the Cowboys have yet to have real talks, quote-unquote, with Parsons' agent, David Mulugeta, though a deal could come together quickly if both sides are motivated. Parsons said at the end of last week he was unconcerned about not having a long-term agreement yet, adding he has spoken with owner Jerry Jones and executive vice president Stephen Jones around the team facility. It's coming along well, Parsons said via Hill. Parsons said late last season he didn't need $40 million annually, but since then, Browns edge rusher Myles Garrett and Bengals receiver Ja'Marr Chase reset the market for non-quarterbacks at more than $40 million. Parsons is expected to top the $40.25 million yearly average of Ja'Marr Chase. Parsons acknowledged that $40 million is real for him. He said, I just played these last couple years on $2 million and $3 million. I think if I had $40 million, I'd be the happiest man alive. You go from playing for the league rookie minimum and get that big of a jump, I think anybody would be happy. Then he went on to Twitter, started talking about some of the deals that have been getting done for players recently. He said, some of these agents don't have the best interest for y'all, man. Wake up. David Mulugeta has been showing it time and time again. It's sad seeing some of these players get violated by teams because of lack of decency and effort by their agents. Well, David is known for, I'm going to get you top dollar. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure you get every last bit coming to you. And so it does not sound like all this discount talk that we were hearing about Micah Parsons, which I think we all agreed we thought was largely, okay, let's talk. Let's see it. We're starting to see now that rhetoric's changing. And he sounds like somebody who is ready to reset the market and deserves to. Deserves to probably get the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. He deserves to be the next one up. Somebody else will top him. But yeah, he absolutely has earned that with his play, I think.
Oh, he has. He has. Now it's just, do they want to pay it?
What do you think changed?
The market.
Do you think the market changed for, that's why he's changing the way he's speaking now?
Yeah, I mean, look, when the market
it's real now. We're on the doorstep. Money's about to come in, and you can say you don't want that extra $10 million a year, but when you're really staring it in the face, it's harder.
Yeah, that's part of it. And also, like, you know, he also hasn't changed his stance.
Well, he did say he only wanted $30 million previously.
Yeah, but that was when the market top was 35 for non-quarterbacks. And now that it's 45 for non-quarterbacks, to him, asking for $40 million
well, the top
is
of,
the same.
Top of the market for non-quarterbacks is 40 right now. He would just potentially reset it.
Oh, he would reset it at 45.
Yeah, okay. The market was set at 35. Yeah, it's now 40.25, and so he's gone from market's 35, I take 30, to market's 40.25, yeah, I need 40.
Yeah, I mean, he might settle for 35.
I do think the quote here that's interesting off of his Twitter, where he says, David Mulugeta has been showing it time and time again. It's sad seeing some of these players get violated by teams because of lack of decency and effort by their agents. That almost feels to me like Micah saying, I've been shown the light.
Yeah.
I've had it shown to me why I need to go for this, why I'm deserving of it, and why these teams need to pay it out. And in all honesty, they do. It's that very famous DeMarcus Lawrence line in negotiations with the Cowboys, where when Stephen Jones started talking to him about, hey, we got this issue, there's this, we got to pay for this, and Tank told him, he said, that is your problem to figure out. That is not mine. My problem to figure out is my money. It is your job to figure out everybody else's.
Yeah.
So either you pay me my money or we split.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of one of the things that pushed it over at the end. And I think Micah seems to be getting a lot of that in his ear right now of just
the salary cap is their problem.
Them paying other people is their problem. That's not yours.
Right.
You worry about you, and you worry about the precedent you set for the people coming behind you. You do not take $30 million and these other rookies that are coming up that have big deals, give that as leverage to other teams. Go, Mark, it's this now. What do you mean? Mark, it's this. Micah Parsons, you think you're $10 million better than Micah Parsons? Hell no, you're not. Micah just signed that. You're signing 32. And that's something that the PA, we talked about this. I think the PA was not thrilled necessarily with the deal that got done for Osa. I think Osa wanted to be here. He got a big payday that he was happy with. I think the Cowboys got a deal that they recognized was
a
deal.
They were absolutely happy with.
But recognized it was a deal, but it was probably still above what they initially intended to pay or what they wanted to pay. But the PA looks at that and goes, you left $6-7 million on the table. Like, we work for these guys to reset the market and push it up so that everybody's making more money in the end. Everybody's protecting themselves. This is a big risk playing football for your entire career.
Franklin, injury attorneys, fan text, 877-881-1053. Breaking news, they are not fans of Micah right now. That's the mentality of a lifelong loser in the NFL. Micah just got greedy. After seeing Jerry be unwilling to bring any tier one free agents, Micah would be an idiot to give him a discount. Trade him. What changed for Micah is his agent talked to him. He's such a child. I can't stand Micah. He's not a leader. FFS, trade him.
Ooh.
You know what FFS stands for.
I do.
Let's see. It's why does the media always demean players when they discuss money but rarely discuss the billions the owners make?
I don't think we're demeaning him.
I don't think we're demeaning him at all.
In fact, I think we just said he deserves the money, and that's the Cowboys' problem.
It's the Cowboys' problem to pay him. It's the Cowboys' problem to pay everybody else. I don't believe that we mentioned that he was greedy at all.
No. I mean, get your money.
Now, some fans might, and this is where the tug of war happens, because fans are like, all right, are we – fans like – they want the team to succeed. They want the player to take less money. I get it. Because the player takes less money, it means more to go around.
In theory.
But A, when the owner doesn't do that, and B, when you're not the player and you don't have your hand in his pocket, you go get your cash. You don't worry about that. And also, if you're Micah, you might not be playing that long.
Not the way he's talked before. Look, Micah has said, we know this, Micah has several interests off the field. He is he's like head of football content at Bleacher Report, something like that. I mean, it's this official title of his. He's a podcaster. He does all these global trips during the offseason. Got a lot of different interests, and that has led to him saying before, I don't think I want to play much past 30. I think around 30 is when I want to hang it up. And there are a lot of people around the league and within the Cowboys, I think, who have said, believe him on that. They don't think he wants to play much past 30. There are others who think he's just talking. Like, he was talking when he said, I'll take $30 million. And now he's talking about 40. Well, but the reality is, he has talked about this a lot, and we've seen a lot of players hang it up earlier and earlier.
Puka Nacua just said the same thing yesterday, saying, I want to retire by the age of 30. And he came in the league at 21, so that would give him 9 years in the league. Like, that's what he wants. We saw Barry Sanders at 9. Jim Brown retired at 9. Calvin Johnson. The money is so great right now.
Gronk initially retired. He came back, but Gronk retired at 29.
Yeah, but the money is so great. You could get generational wealth, and you don't have to play into your 30s. Now, if you're a legacy player, if you're like a guy who's like going to go to the Hall of Fame, or if you're a quarterback and you don't necessarily get hit as much, and you can still walk and have a conversation when you're 50, 60 years old, then stick around. Then stick around. But, I mean, if you're somebody who puts themselves into harm's way with their head or their body, and you can amass generational wealth, which, what do we consider that? $20 million, $50 million, $70 million, $100 million?
Sure.
Right, it's different for everybody. But if you can amass that, why would you stick around?
It's funny.
This game,
when we were grown up, what would you think? I generally thought of like an NFL career. Like if you were a really good player, I thought an NFL career was generally like 13, 14 years, something like that is generally how I thought of somebody's career going. I just want to go back to the 2014 draft. Okay. So that means max out 11 years. These are the guys from the 2014 draft who have now retired, and not just because of some of these are just, they weren't very good. And so they didn't play much past 2019 or something like that. But these are guys who have retired who were good players at one point. Eric Ebron, retired. Taylor Lewan, retired. Aaron Donald, Kyle Fuller. Ryan Shazier was an injury, but Ryan Shazier on there. Zach Martin, who just retired. HaHa Clinton Dix, out of the league, retired. Dee Ford. Like this is, you're seeing more and more guys walking away from the game who were good players after 8 years, 9 years. And Puka, it's not so much them walking away at an early age. Now they're talking about it in advance.
Yeah.
Barry was surprising. Calvin Johnson was surprising.
Yeah, and you know, we've heard coaches constantly say, hey, if you, the moment you start talking about retirement, you got to go.
Your eyes already on the door.
You got to go.
When your eyes are already on the door and you've got your sights set on that, you've probably already checked out as a player.
And I bet you it happens for a lot of like people that as they approach like 60 years old. Right. You can start to see retirement.
Yep.
And, you know, you're not necessarily thinking about today. You're thinking about tomorrow. I bet you that plays an impact. I don't know. But Puka is just another one of the examples of a player who, along with Micah, who is like, all right, you know what? I am not just a football player. And I want to have he said he wants to have five kids. He wants a basketball team, man. He wants to have five kids. And he wants to be a part of their lives. And if he's got money to do it, dude, more power to you, man.
Let me find this stat really quickly. Because when we talk specifically about Hall of Fame level players, right? Because we anticipate that, you know, Micah Parsons is going to be a Hall of Fame level player. That's somebody who he's going to, you know, reach that point where he'll have played well enough and been there and... No matter what age he retires, if it's 29, 30, that'll be different. We had found this at one point where he retired at 29 years old, Rob Gronkowski did. And it was clear that it looked like he was going to make the Hall of Fame. He had made a number of Pro Bowls. Out of the 303 players, Chop, who made five Pro Bowls or more since the merger, Rob Gronkowski at 29 was the second youngest to retire. Kenny Easley was the youngest. So that was 28, 29 years old. Not very common. Now you look in recent years, Patrick Willis, Dez Bryant, Rob Gronkowski, Andrew Luck. That was 19 combined Pro Bowls and zero snaps in their 30s.
Wow. It's a lot. That's a lot. And it's the new norm.
It is.
For some guys, I really think that's what's going to wind up happening. Sean and RJ here at 105 through the Fan. Let us hook you up.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call on number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of Rangers tickets when they take on the Tampa Bay Rays on April 4th. And you'll want to get the early Tolos because the first 15,000 fans in the gate get a Peagle bobblehead. That's call on number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, we got a nice text here from the 817, Chop.
All right.
They say, been a few years since I've turned on the radio. Kiddo tuned in on the way to school today, and I'm enjoying it. Good talk, boys.
All right.
Thank you to 817, and thank you to your kiddo. So have a good day at school, kiddo, whoever you are. Shout out to you.
And however old you are.
Yeah, however old you are. Appreciate all you listening.
Let's ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
Yeah, 817, you're going to want to stick around for this one. This is one of our more popular segments here on the show. It is Ask Reddit. We do this every Tuesday here on Sean and RJ at 740 on 105 through the Fan. This is where we take the most viral questions being asked over on the 50-plus million member forum, Ask Reddit, where they ask all these salacious, pressing, intriguing questions they can. And we take some of the most viral ones from the last week, and we kick them around the studio here. We also answer them on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text at 877-881-1053. That's 877-881-1053. We'll also get your thoughts over on the YouTube as always. And I want to see the Twitch involved today too. So Mike X Cowboy, Opie World, Shoot Brown 78, Not a Fan 1053, Arcada, all you. I want to see y'all in there answering these things too so we can kick them around. All right, we're going to start off with you, RJ Choppy.
Bobby Belt.
First one here, what is a simple life skill that surprisingly many people struggle with?
I feel anything that involves a car.
Like maintenance?
Well, from changing a tire, the amount of people that can't change a tire, to the amount of people that just aren't aware of how to drive. Like, why are you in the left lane if you're doing the speed limit? Why, this morning, I had a honk. I had a honk this morning.
Oh, you guys give me such crap for honking.
Wow, it was a little tap.
Oh.
Burp, because this person was sitting at the light. I'm at like one of the few lights on 114. And that's where I live. And this person wasn't pulling out of traffic because, oh my God, it's too dangerous. And they're going so fast. And like I was like, hey, let's move. So this person at the right turn signal on gets out of the way for me. And I go sidle up to the side. I was able to get around the person and I fly by.
Okay. I'm going to bring this up in Neighborhood Watch on Thursday. I was planning on bringing this up. Somebody on Reddit, on the DFW Reddit page over the weekend, it's so funny you're bringing up that you did this, was complaining about this as the person who sits there and people come up to their side at a median and try and cross over traffic. And everybody in that thread was crushing this person because they said, look, here's the thing. If people are coming up to the side doing that to you in this state, you're not paying attention or you're not a competent enough driver to know when you're supposed to go.
It's as if whoever's in that car doesn't know that you can turn right on red.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's that kind of a... Yeah,
they're an out-of-stater. That's a big thing out-of-state, no right on red.
Yeah,
100%. A lot of places I've been to and lived, it's like, no right on red, no right on red. I'm like, dude, this is the Wild West out here. We turn left on red.
What is a simple life skill that surprisingly many people struggle with here on Ask Reddit on 105 The Fan? Over on YouTube, Jimmy Johnson. I don't think it's that Jimmy Johnson.
I don't think so.
Or the other Jimmy
or
Johnson.
The other one.
The NASCAR driver. Not that one either. It says taking a bath. There you go. Twitch, being active this morning. There we go. Brought it around Twitch. DFW Dad says grammar. Twolo Vader says how to make small talk. Let's see here. Arcada says people can't read a clock nowadays. That's true. I've seen a lot of that. My answer on this one was sort of like the small talk one, talking on the phone.
Yeah.
A lot of people, and I don't know if people just view it as that's not a skill you need to possess anymore in this current day and age, but there's a lot of people who just will do anything they can to avoid talking on the phone and having those interactions.
A while back, my kids wanted Chinese food. They wanted me to give them Chinese food. I said, all right, call them up. And they wouldn't do it.
If they couldn't order online, they were like, no.
I'm like, call them up. Yeah. Call up and get the Chinese and order the food.
That's
what
funny.
Do I say? I even told them what to say. They wouldn't do it. I was like, okay.
All right. Starve then.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Peyton, what's your answer for this one?
Mine's kind of, piggybacks off yours, Bobby, but it's communication skills, either over phone or in person, really. I mean, you work with people every day and you can't just basic communication skills with them. Can't talk to them. Can't do anything in life with them. So that's
the thing. Some of the answers on the fan text really quickly. 469, just plain common sense. 501, parallel parking. Parallel parking is a hard one for a lot of people. 469, can't write in cursive. And 972, how to research and formulate a thought. All right, Ask Reddit here on 105 through the Fan. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Peyton Russell, what is a popular TV show that you just couldn't get into?
Sadly, and this one's might be a hot topic, but or hot take, Parks and Rec. I couldn't get into it. I watched a few episodes and I was like, because I'd watched The Office and I felt like it was just mimicking The Office. And I was like, okay, I think The Office is funny and they're like trying to be funny here, but I just couldn't get into it.
It's a very similar show to The Office. I still think it's funny. I think it's clever, but I could see why somebody would have some struggles with it. I think I've said this before and you didn't like when I've mentioned this before, but my answer on this one is The Sopranos.
I get it. It hasn't aged well.
I was interested in it. There are a couple shows I've watched the first episode 8 times and never seen past it because it's just, oh, I should start that up. I like it. And then there's nothing driving me to the next episode. Sopranos is that way. Ozarks is that way. That was one, or Ozark. That was one where I've seen the first episode, I think 8 times.
And so didn't like what little Anthony, Anthony Jr. said, what? No F and ZD.
No, I like both shows. I just have never taken it. That was Peaky Blinders for a long time. I finally got a few episodes into Peaky Blinders. That was just also really difficult to understand. But Sopranos is the one that I always default to here. What do you got on this one, Chop?
There's a lot of them, but I tried with Breaking Bad. I never enjoyed it. It was too slow. It's not realistic. Teacher becoming a meth whatever. I don't know. It's just like, whatever, man.
So much science in it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. I trusted the science once. Never again. So there you go.
Nikki G on the YouTube says Stranger Things for their answer. Pat Lopez 95, first time chatter on the Twitch, says Breaking Bad is their answer. Fancy Man 825, also first time chat, says can't judge Parks and Recs on the first season, Peyton. Over on the Franklin Injury Attorneys fan text, we have All American from 214. 407 says Yellowstone. 214 thinks Sopranos has aged amazingly, Chop. So they're out.
Man, it's, you know what it is? It's just the clothes. It's the clothes. For me, like, Friends did not age well because they were so, like, in the style of the 90s. Seinfeld, their clothes were just, like, very bland, very generic. So I think that aged better. But, the you know, it's to me, it's the clothes that kind of day to show.
361 says Game of Thrones. A lot of Game of Thrones on here, actually. 210 says White Lotus. In fact, the most common names we're seeing here are probably Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, and some Lost.
I like White Lotus. I don't love this season as much as the other two, but it's still pretty good.
I liked the first season. It got a little wheels off at the end.
Oh, it's wheels off, man.
Yeah, and I was a little like, okay, this is just going down a ridiculous path at this point. All right, Ask Reddit here on 105 through the Fan. Chop, I feel like this one is made for you. What is a red flag that you're attracted to?
Oh, God. I'm now daddy issues. now, I haven't married anyone with daddy issues, but like that is who I apparently would date a lot or find friends for the week a lot as girls with daddy issues.
Yeah, I could see you being a daddy issues drawer.
Your magnetism
pulls in the dad
because they're usually like 15 years younger than me, and that's why I'm like,
get the toxic masculinity here, yeah. Ladies. Yeah,
yeah.
I 100% could see that. Peyton, what is your red flag that you're attracted to?
Excessively clingy. I like it. I love it. If you want to be with me, I'm all for it. I've never thought that was an issue.
I don't think it's an issue either.
Like, let's hang out on like Wednesday night. Like,
yeah.
No, but he does like the location, knowing everybody, each of us knowing our location. He does like that. That is a step above where you're at, isn't it?
I just like to be around people. So like, if you're clinging to me, fine. It doesn't bother me.
Crazy. I do love a little crazy. It's a red flag, but like I'm not talking about just crazy. I'm not talking about like, oh man, she kind of freaks out sometimes. There is something like a twisted side of me kind of likes of the like, every now and then, like I could either, you know, give you a big old kiss. I could be sweet and wrap around your arm, or I could start breaking your crap. Like there's just something about that does it for me at times. That's a red flag. I know I shouldn't do that one, but that's where I'm at with it. All right, some of the answers
for the 817. My superpower is picking the poorest one in the group.
Over on the Twitch, the Sethnicity says, me and you both, Chop, on the daddy issues. They like that. Not a Fan 105.3 says, I'm into bat-ass crazy. Yep. So that's theirs. Let's see here. 903, smoking. Blonde hair with eyebrows. Those are two of theirs there. Smoking is the one that, I don't know that I could date somebody who smokes.
Yeah, not a fan. I mean, I used to smoke and I wouldn't even date somebody who smokes.
Some of these answers. 817, political radicalness.
Yep.
214, generational trauma.
God.
That's good. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Get your answers in on the Franklin Injury Attorneys fan text and on the Twitch and on the YouTube. And we'll get our first answer here on this one from Peyton Russell. Peyton, as we're talking about red flags and things like that, obviously you're taken. You're getting married.
I am.
But what is the one type, quote unquote, you will never date again?
I think this is a type and it answered your question, but like the dumb blonde type. Like it was funny in high school, but it's like, I'm grown now. Like it's annoying to this point. You know, I don't like the, you know, just blame it. Oh, I'm just stupid. I'm just dumb. Like, use some common sense, lady.
But you still love baby talk.
Yeah.
Chop, the one type you would never date again.
Someone who's like mean and relishes in the fact that they're mean.
Oh, yeah. So you'll just never date the mean girl again.
I dated a girl. She was like just generally like mean. Never enjoyed anything. Like, and she like her friends would like call her out about like, God, you're so mean. You like relish it.
Was she that way to you, or was she just that way to externally others?
Externally. I mean, she was cold in general. But externally, others, like, she was very, very, like, just mean. I was like, this is no way to go through life.
The one type you'll never date again on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text and over on the fan camp. My answer to this one, and this one might get me a little in trouble. This might be an unpopular answer. It is the completely independent. That, oh, the mindset of, I'm independent, can do with or without. That's just, to me, it's like, I want somebody who's invested in, like, us. Like, I don't want it to be just a, I can do with or without. Like, I can be separate. Like, the whole point of this, to me, is we're dating to see if we would end up together so that we could share a life together. I don't want it to be like, you're living your own life. And you can, you know, the context doesn't change whether I'm around or not. Because you're just going to do whatever you want to. I would not do that at this
point.
Okay, I did that. I did that once before. I didn't love
it. There's a healthy thing with independence.
Healthy independence. I don't want the,
like, overly,
could do with or without. Okay, my life doesn't change. My decisions don't change whether you're here or not. Like, that's where it's like, I don't love that.
All right.
Some of the answers on the from the listeners here over on the YouTube, Luis Rios says the I don't need no man type. 2K Askew says overly controlling is their answer. Over on the Twitch, It's Janky says someone with no hobbies. They're not doing that one anymore. And then 254, the Disney obsessed girl.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, the Disney princess. All right, next one here on Ask Reddit here on 105 through the Fan. Chop.
Yo.
What's a mistake that your parents made in raising you that you find yourself repeating on your child?
Oh, my dad was a yeller, but not like, not like a yeller, like angry. He was just Italian. And, you know, I guess it's kind of gone on to me, like, where I'm just loud, and I will find myself Sarah will get on me about this. Like, she'll be like, stop yelling at me. I'm like, I'm not yelling. This is not yelling. She goes, yes, it is. I go, no, this is not yelling. I'm not yelling at you. And
Tolo Steve has told me before that he will, whenever somebody goes, why are you yelling? He just gets worked. He'll go, that's not yelling. This is
yelling. You want me to yell?
You want the example? I'll give it to you.
But like, I'm the same with my kids. Like, I'm just very boisterous, I guess, is the word.
Similar for me, I guess, in a way. To me, it's just not enough grace. So my parents were very rigid.
But your mom only for a short amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, so rigid it took her out. Oh. But I mean, what? Like, she just, like, she burned the candle at both ends being rigid with me. But no, generally, like, I understand the rules and discipline, everything else, and there's that. There's got to be grace built into that at times. You've got to show grace at sometimes, otherwise rigid just feels mean-spirited. There are times where I think I'm too rigid. I probably don't tap into grace nearly enough, and that can be an issue. All right, let's do one more here on Ask Reddit really quickly. Since Peyton can't answer the one about kids yet, we don't think anyway.
9 months from now.
Fan text and Twitch, YouTube, Chop, Peyton. Which celebrity gives you I sold my soul to the devil vibes?
Kanye West. We've lost him.
We have lost him.
We've lost
we
them.
We have definitely
you just look
lost
at his
Kanye.
Twitter account. We've lost them.
Tom Cruise, Diddy.
Oh, yes. Tom Cruise does.
Diddy, Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
Chris Kardashian. She sold her soul for kids. I even think Jay-Z. Nobody that ugly could get Beyonce.
you remember
Jay-Z. And he benefited off the death of two people.
But who?
Because if Biggie and Pac were alive, he never takes over.
No,
he filled the void.
Yeah, he did. He filled the void, and then Nas took it right from him. And so, okay, no,
see,
I mean, he did.
Ether, no, he didn't. Nas hasn't taken anything from anybody. Nas hasn't even taken money from album sales because nobody bought it.
I'm just telling you, Ether was the best diss track.
Oh, I'm not saying it wasn't great, but it wasn't mainstream.
Ether was absolutely mainstream.
Not Jay-Z mainstream. Jay-Z's mainstream.
Oh, my gosh. Ether almost made Jay-Z cry on Hot 97 when
he
heard it.
Again, yes, like the actual... The music was great, but Nas has never had the impact.
Call him my crib, and I ain't even give you my number. The answer to this is Taylor Swift. No,
yeah.
she's not popular. That's the only reason she would ever be popular.
Oh, she's got great music, though.
I mean, it sounds like you've sold your soul to the devil, too, Chop. That's what it sounds like.
All right, Sean and Arja here at 105.3 The Fan. A little Ask Reddit for you. 8 o'clock hour coming up next. Anthony Davis makes his return, and Luca's dad has found another microphone. next on 105.3 The Fan.